personal storms from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now this account of the interaction between Christ and his disciples in the presence of a very threatening storm gives us a lot of great biblical information from which we can gain in-depth understanding, if we dare look at it, about human fear in the face of threats. It also gives us a lot of information from which to understand human nature related to how the Lord forbears with the behavior that comes out of human nature. Here we have a biblical account that contains a lot of features that are parallel to life situations that we go through. And we see when we go through these personal experiential storms, we see similarities between what has happened in the hearts and thoughts of these disciples and what has happened in their interaction with Jesus about the matter. And I trust as we look at these thoughts this morning that the Lord will help us to be able to look at these things that the Bible can teach us here in relation to our own personal conflicts in our lives. And that we will, by looking at the comparison, be able to realize that there is a place, a source of spiritual stability and physical stability in a world that is in upheaval every moment of every day. The thing that we don't often think about in relation to spiritual storms that are to be compared with what we see here in this Bible text is that spiritual storms are going on all the time. You know, somewhere this morning, there is thunder and lightning going on across the United States. Somewhere, lightning is cutting the ground or tearing a tree, and thunder is following that is booming with great resonance and scaring folks all around in the vicinity of it. Somewhere this morning, probably out west, there's a fierce wind blowing, a straight line wind, that may be up to 80 to 100 miles an hour. It'll tear trees. It'll blow housetops off. It'll do all kinds of things. This is happening somewhere in the United States this very morning. And that's a thing that we don't often think about. But when we think about it, and we think about it in a proper context, we have to realize that in that same way that there are all kinds of storms going on around the United States today, there are all kinds of spiritual storms going on around the United States today. Somewhere today, somebody is in trauma. Somewhere today, somebody has come to the point, the threshold of an awful crisis that we can represent as a personal, spiritual, or physical storm. And sometime, somewhere, maybe this week, one of you in the audience, or myself, may enter into the edge of and get completely swallowed up by a personal storm. It happens. If we live long enough, it will always happen to each and every one of us at some time or another. Now, when we think about these spiritual storms, or these physical storms that create spiritual upheaval, The first thing that we realize is that storms like this are very often totally beyond our control. And that is the real clincher of why we find such difficulty, as these disciples did, in dealing with those storms. You ever notice how in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning, all of a sudden, thunder rips the air and it bolts you right straight up in the bed. Or at least your eyes fly open. And you lay there in uneasiness waiting for the next boom to occur. You want to locate where that thunderstorm is at and what it's doing. And while you're lying there, invariably, things turn to daylight when a big flash of lightning runs through the air near your house. And then the boom comes. You're uneasy when those conditions occur. And you realize that regardless of what you may or may not do, what that old thunderstorm coming through is going to do is it's going to run its course, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's the way spiritual storms often are. They're beyond our control. We can't get our arms around them. We can't take them and harness them and run with them. We can't get hold of them and hog tie them down on the ground. We can't blow them up. We can't run out and shoot them with a shotgun to make them be silent. We can't stop their motion. They're going to go where they're going to go. And that's the part of it that is so difficult for us to manage. The very fact that we can't manage them at all. You know, controllable storms are never perceived as a threat. Neither real ones, which rarely are there any that can be controlled, nor neither physical storms nor spiritual storms. If we seem to think or feel that we can control them, then they're not a fear maker. They're not a threat to us because we've got control of them. We have their reins. We can direct where they go. We can direct the damage that they do. But so often, no such spiritual or physical storms are of that kind. They're uncontrollable. Storms take a lot of forms. I know for a fact that many of you brothers and sisters sitting here in the past year alone have gone through some awful tornadoes and threats in the spiritual realm. Because we've seen folks everywhere whose livelihoods get in trouble. And suddenly we hear the thunder of threatened money troubles and the thunder of threatened job troubles and folks are suddenly enshrouded in concern about whether they're going to be able to make a living for their family. And if they are, how are they going to be able to do it? And so they're in a spiritual storm as well as a physical storm about things of care of this life. Our kids get in trouble. We enter into a spiritual storm and a family storm. And you know, I think about all these different kinds of storms, and I almost can't think of a one that is physical and experiential in nature that doesn't turn out for the children of God to be a potentially spiritually threatening storm. It's how we conduct ourselves in the storm that makes a difference between whether it becomes one that it threatens our spiritual well-being or not. I mean, if a lightning storm comes up and we run out in the middle of it, the probability increases that the next bolt of wind is going to cut us down. Well, that's the wrong kind of behavior in a thunderstorm, and most of you know better, and you'll stay indoors when a lightning storm comes up. But you know, very often in spiritual storms and in things that threaten to boil over into spiritual concerns, we don't exactly know how to conduct ourselves. And sometimes we literally or figuratively run out into the lightning storm of a spiritual concern and we get ourselves in trouble. Our kids get in trouble and all of a sudden the lightning bolt of sudden problems involving our children strikes in our hearts and we're suddenly in the middle of a spiritual and physical storm. Or maybe it's problems of a serious downturn on some personal peace issue a personal security issue. There's a sudden downturn in how we're able to have our freedom. And all of a sudden, we hear the tornado of an oncoming rush of problems concerning what we want to do and what we'd like to do. And we're suddenly in an experiential storm that threatens to be a spiritual one. So our biggest task in dealing with those storms is to acknowledge that they're out of our control. I think that's our first step. The first step to success is to recognize that these kinds of storms, when they come in the physical realm in which we live, and they boil over into spiritual things, and they bring forth spiritual issues, and they draw us to think about spiritual things, and they tempt us to fail in spiritual matters, that we have no control over the ongoing forces of the storm. The only part we have control over is what we do in the spiritual world and how we conduct ourselves in the physical world in regard to our Christian faith. This is what we need to remember. We have no control over those storms, but we need to recognize it. And attempting human solutions without divine direction concerning these personal storms usually makes more fear than anything else, and it creates worse conditions than we had before we started concocting these human solutions. It's like when we try to find human solutions and resolve the storms that afflict our lives with human effort and with human solutions, it's like fighting a forest fire with a squirt gun. We're not going to make any headway. It's like driving blindfolded. You can steer the wheel well enough blindfolded. You can shift the gears blindfolded. You can press the accelerator blindfolded. But where are you going? And how will you know to get there? I mean, you can do all the things of guiding except being able to see. And that's the way it is when we take on ourselves the idea of deriving human solutions for personal storms that are out of our control. Now, the next thing that we become aware of when we enter into a personal storm very often is that it seems like the Lord doesn't care at all. He's just whistling off over yonder somewhere. And you know, if you look at our text, that's exactly what the disciples were feeling. They were looking at Jesus asleep in the stern of the ship, and look at him. Laid up on that pillow back there. They had forgotten a whole bunch about Christ. And I hope God will help me to show you some of that in a minute. But they looked at him and they thought he didn't care at all. I mean, they came to him with a claim that couldn't in any way be true. But isn't that the way God's children get sometimes? Sometimes in our personal storms, it seems as though God is off somewhere sleeping. It seems as though our Savior has laid Himself upon a pillow, and worse than that, He's in the stern of the ship, not the bow of the ship. And we're chugging through disastrous waters, and the waves are blowing up over the top of the deck and filling the hole with water, and our Lord is sleeping on. That's the way we feel sometimes. Now, the greatest difficulty in dealing with our storms is the very fact that we too often feel that the whole universe is totally uncaring, totally oblivious to our plight. We feel like nobody cares. Not only does the Lord not care, my family doesn't care, my friends don't care, my neighbors don't care, the world doesn't care what happens to me in this personal storm. When we get that way, we really take ourselves outside of the pale of a source of help that we might otherwise have. But that's the way we get. And when we do that, when we think that the Lord is not paying attention to our personal storm, it could be because we're not paying attention to the Lord. That's what happens sometimes. Sometimes we get so involved in our own lives, we get so involved in what's going on in our drama of our life, that we are not paying attention to what the Lord is speaking to us. We're not paying attention to where the Lord is directing us. Sometimes we're so obsessed with our personal storm that we can't see through the rain and the clouds and the thunder and the lightning. We can't see through the flying debris in our personal storm enough to see whether the Lord is there or not. We've lost sight of the Lord. We're not paying attention to Him. We're looking at the effects of our personal storm. Now, I want to just pause here just a second and remind us all that sometimes God sends storms to us to wake us up. We need to always remember that. You know, humans have a historical record for being the most obsessed and disordered folks, creatures on the planet in regard to paying attention to spiritual things. I know they're the only creatures on the planet that are supposed to pay attention to spiritual things, but the very creature that God made to be able to perceive and understand and live by spiritual precepts are the very creatures that are so distracted by living that they often totally lose sight of spiritual things. And God's people are no exception. We have this awful habit of getting so involved in living that we forget to live. We get so involved in the daily, day-by-day, carnal living that we forget the spiritual living. And sometimes, personal storms arrive at our front door to wake us up. And a lot of times when we think the Lord is not there, the Lord is uncaring, the Lord is not paying attention, it may be because we haven't been paying attention. God is always right where you left Him. If you left Him, you can find Him right where you left Him. God doesn't move away. We move away from God. So, we find that the Lord very often sends us storms, whether huge ones or small ones, to wake us up and to draw our attention. I'm reminded of that illustration in Malachi chapter 3, where the Bible says that the Lord shall sit as a refiner. He was illustrating how God deals with His people sometimes. And He says, the Lord sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. What's that a picture of? None of us have ever had the privilege, probably. Any of you ever watched a silversmith melt down and clean silver through the heat process? Well, we've never had the opportunity to do that, but what the Lord's referring to there is the silversmith puts the pot of dross and silver, the raw ore, in the pot, and he begins to heat it. And he's got an aim in heating it. He wants to draw that silver off. He wants to purge off the dross or the extra minerals and waste stuff that's in that silver and leave just a pure silver product there in the bottom. So what he's doing, he heats that silver and he sits there by the minute, even by the hour, and he watches that silver, because after it melts and after it gets so hot, he's watching for a certain color, a certain sheen show up on that silver. And he's got to be right there to take it off the fire when that moment is reached. But while he's sitting there, he stops still. And when you look at the silversmith doing that, you could easily think, he's dead. He's totally asleep. He has no concern whatsoever. But the truth of the matter is, the expert silversmith has his eyes focused on that silver. And the moment that silver is right in that pot, then he acts. But he doesn't move until it's right. And you know, that's the Lord. That's a wonderful illustration of the Lord as He works us through life experiences in our personal storms. Yes, He does seem to be away somewhere. Sometimes He does seem to be concerned with other affairs, distracted, not paying attention to our problems, to our concerns, to our labor, to our woe, to the flying debris and the wind and the rain and the hail and the tornado and the lightning and the thunder going on around us when we're suffering through our personal storm. But remember, He's the silversmith watching for the silver to come to purity. And He'll bring you out of that storm refined as silver, purged as gold and silver, that you may offer unto Him a better offering, a more pure offering in righteousness. Well, here we are in the storm. Here's the Lord seemingly not paying attention to us. What's the solution to our dilemma? It's real simple, verse 38. I'm not particularly fond of the way they did it, but they did it. They wake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Now, notice the simplicity of the solution. They call on the Lord. Voila! Oh, that's right. When everything else fails, call on the Lord. No telling what all they've been trying. No telling how many bailing buckets they'd had going hand over fist in that boat trying to keep that water down to a level that the boat wouldn't sink. And all of a sudden, they realize, you know what? This storm's out of control. Now, if they'd realized that when it first came up, when it first started filling the ship, they'd probably been better off. They didn't. Typical human. Isn't that the way we are? But they realized it. And they found the solution immediately. They cried unto the Lord. And that's exactly what we need to do when we get into our personal storm. Recognize it's out of your control. Recognize there's someone who can control it. And call on that someone for the solution to your dilemma. Call on someone who has the capability, the power, the readiness, and the willingness to take care of things for you. Now, notice the results of calling on the Lord. Now, the first thing, before I even mention anything about this, is I want to point out that it was an absurd thing for the disciples to suggest that the Lord Jesus Christ did not care. Because Jesus always cares about His people. And you can put that in the bank. There's never a time in your life, in the worst, the least, or the greatest of storms, that your Savior does not care. But notice when they call on Him, notice that He is quick, regardless of the fact that they showed insubordination to Him. They exhibited a disrespect for their own Savior. And I will give credit this far. Not to condone what they did, but you know, they just got started with the Lord in their ministry. They hadn't been with Him very long, and they hadn't come to know Him in the depth of the Savior that He was. And so you can almost excuse their human ignorance in respect of this. And might I add also that when we get into a place where a personal storm is overtaking us in our lives, might I add that if we are tempted to suggest that the Lord does not care, that He's off somewhere else concerned with something else, that it may be a reflection of how little we know about our Lord. And it might ought to provoke us to study more carefully what our Lord really is. But as soon as they call upon Him, without ado, He arises and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The Lord Jesus Christ is God of all forces. And we saw Him here in this text stop a mighty wind with a word. Peace be still. And you know, our Lord has that capacity with every kind of storm in existence. The problem with us is that we readily accept the idea that He can stop a big windstorm out on the Sea of Galilee, because we read about it, and by faith, we believe it's there. But when we get into our personal storm, we start thinking you can't do the same thing with it. And by that, we start drifting out there. And the waves start flowing, splashing, washing into our boat. And pretty soon we're ready to sink with our personal storm all around us. And we forget that all we need to do is say, Lord, help me here. And He can say, peace, be still. And immediately that storm will cease. You notice that that storm didn't kind of grade out like some storms do. Goes from the huge roar and washing of the waves and splashing and lightning and thunder and all kinds of things. Then it becomes a little bit lesser of a rain and then a shower and then goes away to nothing. That wasn't what happened here. But rather, when He said, peace, be still, the winds calmed immediately. Now, when you have a personal storm, I need to ask each of you, where is that personal storm really taking place? Is it because the child has got off in left field? Is it really there at the child, or is it here? If you get in financial trouble, is it because your money is scattered out yonder somewhere, spent somewhere where maybe that it shouldn't have been, or spent all out because you were required to spend it and now you don't have any? Is the problem out there with that money scattered everywhere? Or is it here in your heart? Is sickness that has overtaken you or your family or your friend and has laid them in a sick bed? Is the problem the personal storm there with that sick loved one? Or even in your own sick body? Or is it here in your heart? Where is the problem? Where is the personal storm going on? It's in here. It's inside you. The personal storms that we experience have to do with relativity, brothers and sisters. The relativity of the problem to how close it is to our heart and being discerned as a problem. If we see it as a problem, it's a big problem. If we can get to the place where we don't see it as a problem, it's not a problem. That's relativity. And the calmer of the storm is to able to reestablish the relativity of your personal storm. He's able to take what has got your life in an uproar, what has caused you all of this concern, all of this woe. He's able to take this stuff and crunch it up into a condensed reality packet. And you're able to look at it and say, wait, I call on the Lord, and all of a sudden I realize the Lord's showing me something here. It isn't as big as I thought it was. I've blown it all out of proportion. I've made it into this huge monster, and it's really nothing at all. It's all going on in here. When the Lord speaks, peace, be still, that can happen. Are we calling on the Lord when personal storms arise? Will we remember to call on the Lord when personal storms arise? Let's be faithful to do that. Now, a last point. Here's a pointed question from the Lord because of their fear. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, fear in the face of natural peril that grows into a personal storm, that grows into a spiritual kind of storm, This fear in the face of natural peril makes the natural man react with survival behavior. And the survival behavior tends to ignore truth and tends to ignore trust in anything. It claws to stay alive and it uses human effort to do it. And when we're in the throes of this carnal person, this natural man, that's what we do. We seek those human solutions. But faith says, trust in the Lord to rescue you. If we just listen to that, we're on good ground. The Lord said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? We ought to let this question ring in our ears also. When personal storms begin to beset our life, I mean, we need to be remembering in our own hearts that the Lord is the one who can calm this storm, and all we have to do is call upon Him, and it's a fact. It's a done deal. But we've got to call on Him. And in your own mind's eye, He will continue to sleep in the stern of the ship unless you call on Him. Well, you notice in the last of our reading that the disciples were overcome with awe when they realized that this awful storm that had scared them half to death was brought to a total standstill in a split second when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Peace, be still." They were filled with awe. And the Bible says they were very fearful and said, "What manner of man is this?" Let me leave you with this one last thought. You try the Lord on personal storms. You try Him and prove that He can and will calm your storm. And then after He calms your storm, you remember that with the reverence that He's due for His ability to do that in your life. There's nothing wrong with the kind of fear those disciples had. Come on up, brother. There's nothing wrong with the fear those disciples had. It was a godly fear, a reverential fear. And that's the kind of fear we ought to have for our Lord when He calms our storm. Let's call on the Lord, see Him calm our storm. Let's give Him the reverence due to Him. Somebody here will have a storm before the month is out. Some of you may be in a storm right now that I don't know about. Some of you are in a storm. And you need God's help in this. You need Christ to say, "Peace! Be still." And when He does that here, it gets calm. And a physical tornado can be going on around you. But you're in a safe ship when the Lord says, "Peace, be still," and you know it.